Parak Gimel, Mishnah Dalet. Pierce the sodin shel butz. They would spread out this sadin, this cloth made of butz, which was an expensive, beautiful garment. Beinahu, between the Kohen Gadol that went up to the Shar Hamayim to do his first tevila in the morning of Yom Kippur, like we mentioned and at the end of the previous Mishnah, that he would dip before he'd go to do the Karpan Tamid. Lebeinam, and they'd put this cloth between him and the people as a derech tznias to be modest. And the Gemara explains that they would spread this sadin of butz. Why butz? To remind the Kohen Gadol that the avoda of the day of Yom Kippur was bebigdei lavan, with the white clothing that was made also from butz, from this material butz. Me'achar shiragel ha'yo l'sham, since he was always used to using kol hashana kula bebigdei zav. During the year, the garments of the Kohen Gadol consisted of golden garments. The Shmona begun on the eight garments, where four of them were made out of gold, like we'll mention momentarily. So now they would spread this cloth made out of butz to remind him that today on Yom Kippur, part of the clothing that he'll wear will be the avodah of the Yom, the clothing made from the butz material. Pashat, so the Kohen Gadol would remove his big day chol, his weekday clothing. Yarad, he would go down, but Tavala, he would do the first dipping in the mikvah. Allah, he would come up from the mikvah. Venestapa, he would dry himself on this sadin, on this cloth, and then heviyu lo big day zav, and then they would actually bring him the big day zav, the golden garments, shemishamish b'hem b'chol hashana, that he used throughout the year, and they are the ksonas, the tunic, the michnasayim, the pants, the tznefes, the turban, the avnet, the belt, the me'il was the robe, the choshen, the breastplate, the ephod, and the tzitz. The tzitz was this golden plate on top of the turban. And four of these eight garments were made of gold. The choshen, the ephod, the me'il, right? Not the actual cloak itself of the me'il, but the pa'amoni hazahav sha'al shulav, the golden pomegranates that were on the bottom, that when the kohen would walk, you know, they would jingle. Ubetzitz shehaya kulei zav, and then the tzitz, the golden plate, was made out of gold. So four parts of his garments, of his normal eight garments that he wore throughout the year, were made out of gold. So they would bring him his garments, the eight garments, v'lavash, he would wear them, v'kiddish, and he would then wash yadav rakl of his hands and his feet, because mishum l'vishas b'kdei hazav, because he's wearing the golden garments. So like we mentioned in the previous Mishnah, he'd have to wash now his hands and his feet. And what's interesting is that apshitas, on putting on the golden garments, right, he would remove his weekday clothes, whatever he was wearing, okay? Then he put on the golden garments that he would wear throughout the year. And he'll change to the white garments. We'll get to that soon. But on Yom Kippur, he wore both. The gold garments that he wore during the year and the special white garments for Yom Kippur. But what they're pointing out over here is that when he would put on the golden garments, so he would wash his hands and his feet. But on removing his weekday garments, he wouldn't wash his hands and feet. And the problem is, the Gemara asks, that according to this, we only have nine times of washing his hands and feet. Because the first one we're skipping, we're saying that when he took off his weekday clothes to change into the clothing for Yom Kippur, he didn't wash his hands and feet. So what happened to the 10th washing of the hands and feet that we mentioned in the previous Mishnah? So the Gemara answers that at the end of the Avodah, so kol Avodah, so all the services of the day, when he would come to remove his big day kodesh, his holy garments, and put back his big day chol, his weekday garments, then he would wash his hands and his feet by the kior, because of the removal of the big day kodesh, removing his holy garments, and that would add up to the 10th kiddush adayim v'raglayim. So that's to answer that question, where the 10th one came from. Okay. Then heviulo esa tamid, after he would get dressed and wear the big day zahav, they brought in the kevas, the lamb that was going to serve as the carbon tamid of the morning. Krasso means he shechted it, and the Mishnah uses the word krasso. Krasso means chatcho, to cut it. But he uses this lashon to teach us that he would only do part of the shechita, which means rov shnei simanim, majority of two of the simanim, which was the kana and the veshet, the windpipe and the food pipe. Belvah, that's all he did. Why? Because quickly he had to quickly catch the blood that would come out of the neck of the animal in the special, you know, utensil. So he couldn't be busy shechting the entire animal, otherwise he'd miss the blood. So you do just, you know, majority of the windpipe and the food pipe. Then he'd quickly go ahead and catch the blood. And the reason why he had to be so swift over here is because kol avodas hayom en kasher was ela b'kohen gadol. All the services of the day was only kosher through the kohen gadol. So that's why he only did part of the shechita, the most of it, but part of it. Then he quickly put the utensil there to catch the blood. Umerik Acher, and then another Kohen would come along, Shechita Ayado, and just finish up the job of Shechting the Keves. So this way he did majority of it, then he caught the blood, and another Kohen would just Shech the rest of it to finish off the process. So again, we're reiterating that all the services of the day was done by the Kohen Gadol, but over here there was a Kohen helping him out just to end the Shechita process, but he did the majority of it and then caught the blood from the animal. So here we go. Kiblas Adam, he would accept the blood. Uzraka, and the blood that he would catch from this animal, he was very quick. He would check and then catch. Uzraka, he would throw now this blood on the Mizbeach. Then Nichnas, he would go in, Lahaktik Torshal Shachar. He would go in, he would be makti, he would burn every single day, B'chol Yom, on Mizbeach Hazav, on the golden Mizbeach, the Ktores, the incense of the morning. Ulehetiv Esaneros. So it sounds like the Ktores of the morning he did every day. Now we're going over that on Yom Kippur, of course, he did it also. And then after Ulehetiv Esaneros, he would attack in Esaneros, he would fix the candles, Shel Menoras Hazav, of the golden menorah. Fixing the candles here is like what we mentioned at the beginning of the Masechta and Mishnah Beis and Perek Aleph, is that he would remove the ashes from the candles of the menorah. He would clean it up. So you go to the menorah Sazahav, the golden menorah, and remove the ashes from the menorah and clean it up. Ula Hakar Vesarosh Vesayvaram, he would then makrev, he would sacrifice the head and the limbs of the Ola Satamid, of this carbon Ola of the Tamid. Of Es HaChavitin, the Chavitin was the Mincha offering of the Kohen Gadol that Shoyer Makar that was brought B'chol Yom every day, Asir Sa'efa Solas, a tenth of an Efa, fine flour, half in the morning and half in the evening. So Yom Kippur was no different, he'd bring that. V'yasayayin, then he'd bring the Lunasi Chasayayin, the wine libations of the Karban. V'chin L'hakar Ves Mincha Satama, he'd also bring the Mincha of the Tamid. And that's Mishnah Dalet. Moving right along straight into Mishnah Hay. Ketores shel shachar, the ketores that was burnt in the morning every day, and of course now in Yom Kippur, ha'sekreva ben dam le'evarim was brought between the blood that was spritched and the evarim, the limbs of the carbon tamid that was sacrificed. And the Mefarshim explain here, it's thrown out of various psukim, it doesn't literally mean it was between the dam and the evarim, the spritching of the blood and the limbs that were sacrificed, rather because also you find that the cleaning of the menorah was in between as well. The main point here is telling you is that between the spritzing of the blood of the carbon tamid and the sacrificing of the evarim, the limbs of the carbon tamid, there were other things as well. They weren't back to back. For example, after the spritzing of the blood was the burning of the ketores. After the ketores was the cleaning of the menorah. And then only afterwards would be the sacrifice of the evarim of the limbs of the carbon tamid. So the point here is that we're not necessarily going in the exact order of the day of Yom Kippur, but we're telling you that there were things in between the spritzing of the blood and the sacrifice of the Evarim, like the Ketores and like the cleaning of the menorah. Now that's the Ketores of the morning. Shel Ben Harbayim, the Ketores that was brought every day in the evening, and certainly in Yom Kippur as well, Ha'isekreva Ben Evarim L'Nesachim, was brought between the Evarim, the limbs of the Tamid that were brought, and the Nesachim, the libations, Ben Akrabas Ivri HaTamid, Shel Ben Harbayim, between the limbs of the carbon tamid of the evening carbon tamid, lebein between the kravas of the nesachav of the libations that they would bring, which is the minchas hasolas v'nechse yain, the mincha offering, and the wine libations. So between the carbon tamid of the evening, between the evarim, the limbs that were brought, and the nesachav, the libations that were brought, was the ktores of the evening. And then the Mishnah ends off with a point over here that Imhaya Kohen Gadol, if the Kohen Gadol that was serving was a Zakin, he was old, like Istanis, or he was weak and he was a finicky kind of Kohen Gadol, and he couldn't handle the coldness of the mikveh that he was tabling in. So then Mechamen Lochamen, they'd warm up hot water on Erev Yom Kippur, Umatila, and then they'd put on Yom Kippur this hot water into the mikveh, into the cold water, in order to remove the coldness to accommodate the Kohen Gadol. And the Gemara explains that they would warm up the hot water on Erev Yom Kippur. They would warm up, either they say over here, Ashashash Shel Barzel, they warmed up these iron rods, and they'd place them, they put them on the fire, Erev Yom Kippur, until Yom Kippur would come. And then during the time when he would dip in the mikveh, they would remove them from the fire, place them into the water, and it's only a shavus, only a derabanan of warming up the water. There's no derabanan, no rabbinic, decrees in the base of mikdash, and therefore it's permitted. And so too, they would warm up, or they would warm up water on Erev Yom Kippur, and then they would take this, you know, water, remove it off the flame, and then pour into the cold water on Yom Kippur. Again, at most, it would be a derabbanan, a rabbinic, you know, a rabbinic malacha, and rabbinic malachas are not applicable in the base of Mikdash. It's important. Yisod, we have touched upon this numerous times throughout the Mishnah that we're learning, that there were no derabbanans, no rabbinic malachas in the base of Mikdash. So either through these iron rods they would heat up, or actual water they would heat up, they would take it and add it to the cold water on Yom Kippur to warm up the water for a Kohen Gadol that couldn't handle the coldness. And that wraps up Mishnah Hay.